I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Throw the Fascist Out Thursday edition, the happier happy hour, rolling through it. Not taking you all the way to Joe Biden's speech, but he will speak, the president, in prime time. And my understanding, Dom, he's going there to kick ass and take names. Joe Biden, I like this new, more forceful Joe Biden.
Yes,
calling out the fascist.
Chew bubblegum and kick ass, and he's all out of bubblegum.
Well, he's supposed to come to Wisconsin on Monday, and I would look forward to some details from the White House because we're anticipating broadcasting that live right here on this fine radio network. Dom, quick couple of headlines, and then back to the phone. Said 844-967-2789. That weight character, the voter fraud guy.
Dude, 78? He's 78 years old. I mean, I just heard the news at the bottom of the hour there. He guy's 78 years old, man. What are you doing? Any sentence is a death sentence for that cat.
A DWI sentence could be what?
Well,
life in prison.
Man. First
he's got 60 days.
Pass, but after the second or the third or the 10th, then it might be a death sentence.
Well, it's not even a criminal offense on the first one.
Right, give me a gimme. It's a gimme.
So anyways, those joining us later, just hopping in the car, apparently a 78-year-old Racine County man who had requested the ballots of Robin Foss and Corey Mason. He was charged today. Couple of felonies, couple of misdemeanors. Voter fraud are the misdemeanors. The fraudulently using someone else's identity is a felony with an imprisonment of up to 6 years per charge. I hope he gets them concurrently, Dom. A little bit more than that, Dominic. This, only because we used to be in the industry. The Wisconsin Realtors Association have something of a history of endorsing loser candidates, actually Republican losers who often win the elections in this case. Here is their history. The WRA, the Wisconsin Realtors.
All right.
And I used to be a in good standing member for like a decade. They endorsed Wanker, Scott Walker. God, I hate that guy. 2010. 2012, 2014, 2018. So they're very wanker-centric, if you know what I'm saying. And Mike Theo, and I used to do a lot of business with Mike's wife, Cheryl. Wonderful professional. Mike, a little bit scared, never came on the show. I've invited Mike Theo on this show just to understand why it is that the realtors weigh into political races in almost every year. But this year, after interviewing both candidates, both Tim Michaels and Governor Tony Evers, the realtors have decided to endorse none of the above. No endorsement offered by the WRA. That's going to be a blow to the Michaels campaign.
Right.
They're not going to get the grandiose super PAC money from the realtors because they used to take our money every year. You pay your MLS, you pay your super PAC, so they could turn around and give like $1 million. The Scotty Wanker used to call me. Michaels ain't getting the endorsement money. Michaels did not get the endorsement of the realtors, a notoriously Republican organization. That's got a sting. I mean, I thought he was a big builder construction guy himself.
Well, that is. It's super interesting. I mean, why all of a sudden now? What is it about the political climate now that the Wisconsin Realtors Association decides to
couple of issues? They specifically said that Governor Tony Evers had done whatever the realtors wanted them to do, something about navigable waterways and allowing people to put piers in them and some other things. Anyways, Evers apparently checked a couple of the boxes that the Realtors Association liked. So, you know, they're single issue voters, apparently, Dom. And, you know, since Tony had two pluses, they just said, well, we can't endorse a Democrat. So no endorsement offered. Right? That was their strategic decision. Mike Theo. I got his wife's number, but, you know. Cheryl wasn't really political, very professional. 844-967. Say hi to him if you see him on the street. Mike, Cheryl, how you been? Let's get to the phones. Joe from Madison, how you been?
Oh, I'm just just fine, just swell, and looking forward to a deep dive into the fascism that's creeping into our country. I think it's a good topic to look at. So I am curious to get a little bit more information. In the last hour, you talked about Ron Johnson apparently starting an electoral committee to look at election irregularities. Is that correct?
An 80-person? Yeah, that was news to me. That was reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay. Well, wouldn't the first place he'd start to look would be his own little self, as you consider what he did with trying to hand off fake electors?
That was seconds.
Wouldn't that be the very first?
I hardly got any blood on my hand. It was just for a couple of seconds.
Oh, my God. I mean, look in the mirror, buddy. Look in the mirror. You know, the vote of the people of the state of Wisconsin and Michigan gets, you know, pitched aside because he wants Pence to blow us off.
You know that Ron Johnson can't look in a mirror. White Walkers don't cast a reflection.
He can't see himself.
Yeah, right. Well, I would say, that it's quite obvious the first place to look is himself. But I just, when I thought about the nerve of having an 80-person election committee, and boy, they really have come up with a lot of evidence, haven't they?
That's the thing. You know, I want to spin your wheels, knock yourself out. I mean, there's always a small percentage, right? A super, 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 super small percentage. Guys like Harry Waite, for example. But there are, the news is what, 20 some people out of 3 million votes cast, convicted or charged with some sort of voter fraud or irregularities. And good as well, they should be, Joe. But again, you vote, right? You're active. You go down to the ward.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's 1,000 or 2,000, depends on the size of total voters. Hell, sometimes there's only a couple of hundred that people that walk through there. And there's, at least in my area, Joe, 3 or 4 people at the desk are the 3 or 4 people behind. Usually they're much older than me, and I'm not a young man anymore. These are the ones that are, you're throwing the election. I mean, tell me how, 1,875 different municipalities are going to come together to do this when you have Republicans and Dems and independents looking over everybody's shoulders, knowing, especially during the pandemic and now going forward with the scrutiny that should perhaps justifiably, sure, if you're concerned, then volunteer, go be a part of it instead of just bitching about it on the side and hiring and volunteering 80 people. Well, at least if they're doing that, they're probably not doing something else more nefarious.
Except for you, Kathy Nicholas. You stay out of it.
Good one. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
I want to do a little preview of the president's speech by enumerating some of the recent, most fascistic actions of our modern GOP. An opinion piece, Paul Waldman at the Washington Post, I sourced . In Michigan, one of the most brazen GOP attacks on democracy yet, there's a fundamental idea at the heart of democracy, a bargain we all tactically agree to. We hold elections, one side wins, that side tries, usually with only partial success, to implement its favored policies. The other side, now in opposition, does its best to convince people that we ought to reverse course. After a while, the public gets to weigh in again, either keeping the ruling power, party in power, or giving the opposition a chance. That's the way it used to be. Quaint times, Dom.
It was so fun back then. It was a simpler time.
But Dom, like children crying, no fair! Every time they lose at a game, the Republican Party has decided that any outcome democracy produces that it does not like, an election won by a Democrat, a policy decision made by a Democratic administration, is illegitimate by definition. And with each passing week, it's coming up with new and sometimes shocking ways to reject this foundational bargain. In Michigan, as in many states, the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade has pushed the issue of abortion rights to the top of the political agenda. Abortion rights advocates have collected 730,000 signatures, far more than necessary for a ballot initiative that would guarantee abortion rights. But in Michigan, initiatives must be certified by the state board, the state's board of state canvassers. It has 2 Democrats, and wait for it, Dom, and 2 Republicans. And if they deadlock, the initiative won't appear on the ballot. Guess what the Republicans on the right. board did, Dom? Well, that's just what happened when the 2 Republicans refused to certify the abortion initiative. Were the signatures invalid? Question mark. Did they violate one of the rules regarding petitions, which include limits on font size and word count? No. The Republicans struck it from the ballot because of word spacing. Of course, Tom, not enough spacing between the words. Specifically, wow. In the printed petition, the words were strung together without spaces. For example, decisions about all matters relating to pregnancy. Well, that's all run together, not properly spaced.
Not one space between those words.
Now, these Republicans didn't argue that Michigander saw that and said, whoa, what does that say? I'd better just sign this. They just said it's a mistake, and any sort of mistake on a petition means the whole thing should be nullified. Sorry, liberals. To be clear, wrangling over petition signatures is common, but disputes usually center on whether a candidate or an initiative has gathered enough legitimate signatures. Right, Kanye? If an initiative has ever been rejected because of word spacing, no one seems to be aware of it.
Right.
And Dom, the matter will now be decided by the Michigan Supreme Court. It has a 4-3 Democratic majority, so this deranged decision is likely to be reversed. But here's what's equally disturbing. How many of you read that and were three Republicans on the state Supreme Court and assumed they'd go along with the rejection of the initiative, no matter how absurd the rationale? Because that's where we are today. That's where we are today, Dom.
Curdy, meanwhile, in Alaska, Democrat Mary Peltola just won a special election for the state's only U.S. House seat. The election was run under a new ranked choice voting system approved by Alaskans in a 2020 ballot measure. Voters list their choices in order, and if no candidate gets 50% or more in the first round, candidates at the bottom are eliminated and the people's second choice votes are allocated to the remaining candidates. It can be a little hard to understand at first, but there's no evidence of widespread confusion in Alaska or people saying they mistakenly voted for the wrong person. What ranked choice voting can do, however, is create opportunities for candidates with cross-partisan appeal, which is just what Peltola seems to be. She got the most votes in a three-way race with Republican Sarah Palin and Nick Begich III. She won because half of those who supported the last place Begich either listed Peltola as their second choice or decided not to list any second choice. The reason is obvious. A significant number of Alaskans, perhaps the kind who keep re-electing moderate Senator Lisa Murkowski, don't like Palin. But as far as many Republicans are concerned, if a system chosen by Alaskans doesn't produce a Republican victory, it means it's a scam. As Senator Tom Cotton tweeted after the results were announced, ranked choice voting is a scam to rig elections. This is now the standard GOP response. If we lost, it was rigged. Just wait until someone tells Cotton about the Electoral College, a scheme that allows a candidate who won fewer votes than their opponent to become the President of the United States. Don't tell them. It doesn't stop with elections. The default Republican response to legislation passed by a Democratic Congress or a policy decision made by a Democratic president is now to file lawsuits seeking to have the courts, which have been stacked with partisan Republican hacks, to strike them down. Republicans are already preparing lawsuits against President Biden's decision to forgive some student loans in the hope that the right judges and ultimately the Supreme Court will find some ridiculous excuse to quash it. We're headed for chaotic elections in 2024, as GOP election saboteurs attempt to ensure that no matter what the voters say, Republicans will be declared the winner in every race. The leader of the GOP cult, Donald Trump, is even demanding that he be declared the rightful winner in 2020 and reinstalled in the White House. We have to refocus on that fundamental Democratic bargain and focus and force Republicans to say clearly whether they will hold to it. Because if democracy means that sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, if you can't accept that, you've pronounced yourself an enemy of the American system, writes Paul Waldman. And you probably, if you're, you know, of that ilk, you're probably a little semi-fascistic.
Are you sure it's fascistic? Could be semi-flaccid. It could be that problem.
Maybe it's both. That's why they're fascistic.
Come back with us. One last segment for your phone calls. Join us now at 844-967-2789. Don't forget, President Biden sticking it to the semi-fascist later tonight in prime time. Yes.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What, Bobby?"
He was invading lots of bubbles.
Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
You've waited 12 years for this, but you just didn't know what the flavor was going to be. Nothing has tasted quite right up until now. Sometimes it tasted dumb, crazy, or even seditious. But now it tastes just right. Introducing Mandela Mash, a legit lager. This beer won't embarrass you in public. It comes in an aluminum can, not a tinfoil hat, and it was made in America, not Russia. With a clean finish, the taste doesn't lie. Mandela Mash, the only sane choice for U.S. Senate. Available only in Wisconsin. Go to ManaquaBrewingCompany.com to find where you can buy this fresh new flavor of American democracy.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day, if you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Crudy, some corrections on my part. Apparently, Harry Waite from Wisconsin Union Grove, who's been charged with 2 counts of election fraud and 2 counts of unauthorized use of an individual's personal identifying information in connection with his requesting absentee ballots for 2 other individuals, is 68 years old, not 78. So he could maybe, you know, get a couple, if he got the 2 6-year sentences. He could probably wait that one out. Also, breaking on MSNBC Chiron, the January 6th committee, well, they're going to apparently get back together. They're getting the band back together, and they're seeking information from former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. What?
Newt was in there stirring the pot? Let me ask you, my understanding is former White House counsel Pat Cipollone and Philbin, not Regis, yes, but the Pat Philbin, also
Pat and Pat. Yep,
Pat and Pat. Who are they testifying? Is that January J6 committee testimony?
No, they testify. Former White House counsels testify tomorrow to a grand jury, not to the J6 committee. They've already done that.
Is that the Fulton County grand jury down in Georgia?
I didn't see a specificity on it. Let me look it up.
Well, there's probably some secret grand juries that have been convened, but the only current grand jury I'm aware of is the Fulton County grand jury.
Well, no, the DOJ's got several grand juries, or at least 2 other grand juries opened right now. According to ABC News, there's a federal grand jury probing January 6th. So this is the grand jury that's looking into the January 6th insurrection.
Hmm. Well, that's a significant ratcheting up, Dom, if the White House counsel is now giving testimony to the Department of Justice, what they're not the committee, but the actual Department of Justice, that means they're doing probably criminal investigations at the highest levels of the former government. Yes. That'd be my thought, you know, but what do I know? I'm a layman.
Yes, no question. So, yeah, this is specifically the Department of Justice, I guess, a grand jury impaneled to look at, investigate the events surrounding January 6th. And this is both Trump's White House counsel and deputy Philbin and Cipollone testifying tomorrow. Now, Crudy, I know that's the one, right? This is the insurrection. This is the coup plot. This is what you believe is the
crime against democracy.
Right,
kind of
big deal.
Yeah,
BFD,
this, special security, top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago. But now it looks like, you know, this continues to go on, and the J6 will start meeting, I believe, next month again.
Well, next month is now. We're in September, Don.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
Next month.
This month
is now.
Soon.
But we got a Labor Day weekend, and we got one more show, and, you know, time for a few more callers. But real quick, the Arizona GOP chair says that thousands will be implicated if the J6 committee looks at her phone.
You can't do that.
Then I absolutely want to see her phone. Dominic, the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, argued that thousands could be implicated if a federal judge does not quash a subpoena from the House Select Committee investigating the J6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Here is the quote to the Tucson Star. Kelly Ward, attorney for Alexandria Kolodin, K-O-L-O-D-I-N, Kolodin. That will inevitably lead to the questioning of and further subpoenas issued to the thousands of Republicans in contact with the plaintiffs. Thousands of implicated co-conspirators. The U.S. House of Representatives General Counsel Douglas Letter noted the Department of Justice was not seeking the content of conversations, just the metadata. Just want to know the metadata. There could be no greater interest than investigating the first attempt to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power of its kind in our nation's history.
It's unprecedented, investigating a former president, Tom.
Yeah, nothing like this has ever happened before.
Ward, who was an alternative Arizona elector.
No, that's a alternative? Nice way to put it.
Is that like a fraudulent Trump elector? Ward, who was an alternative Arizona elector with her husband, Mark, was subpoenaed by the Select Committee in February.
No, I just want to be clear, Curdy. I don't mean to interrupt, but when we say the alternative, this was, if I recall from some of the testimony and evidence presented to the January 6th committee, this was bantered back and forth amongst those who were, you know, attempting to do this coup, and they decided on the term alternative because it sounds better. So I think we should stick to what their original was. Wasn't it false?
Fraudulent.
I mean, we say criminal. It sounds like it's almost legitimate.
Dominic, this Ward again, who is apparently in, you know, a little bit of trouble because if you look at her phone, thousands will be implicated. The subpoena cited a July 2021 report by Arizona 12 news correspondent Bram Resnick. Apparently, the article quoted Kelly Ward as texting the Maricopa County Board then-chairman Clint Hickman, here is the contents of the text message. We need you to stop the counting. Oh. We need you to stop the counting. As in, like, don't count the votes because we're afraid Joe Biden might win. The subpoena said Ward apparently spoke with former President Trump and members of his staff about the election certification issues in Arizona. There were no issues. They didn't like the outcome. In addition, after the election, you sent out messages suggesting the November 2020 election had been stolen, posted a video advancing unsubstantiated theories of election interference by Dominion voting systems, along with a link to a donation page to benefit the Arizona Republican Party. Because there's always a little grifting going on to boot down.
No, I mean, you got to ask for the money or they're never going to give it to you.
The Select Committee wrote, and interesting, very same date that the criminal fraudulent Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin, on December 14, 2020, you apparently acted as a purported Electoral College elector to meet and ultimately transmit to Congress a set of alternative Electoral College votes, which you describe as representing the legal voters of Arizona. And after former President Trump and others encouraged Vice President Mike Pence and members of Congress to prevent or delay the certification of the Electoral College votes during the joint session of Congress. They're kind of wordy, sort of a long sentence here, J6 committee, if you could break it down for dumb guys. And during the attack on the United States Capitol, you wrote on Twitter, Congress is adjourned. Send the elector choice back to the legislatures. We would like to better understand these and other statements, events that you witnessed or in which you participated and communications we believe you may have had with national, state, and local officials about the outcome of the November 2020 election. Well, Dom, Jenny Thomas, she had a few communications as well. That's where we started the day. Supreme Court Justice's wife pressuring Wisconsin lawmakers. Only two of them actually responded to the open records request. They probably all got the same pressure, the same email from Jenny Thomas. We know Waite, the fraudulent elector that sought the absentee ballots, he's been charged with felonies here in the state of Wisconsin. We know the incumbent GOP Senator Ron Johnson not only hired and staffed a fraudulent criminal fake Trump elector, but also, what was his latest? Oh, it's always terrible with Roncho.
Hit Robin Voss. Wisconsin GOP is in disarray.
Great way to end the show. Listen for Joe Biden tonight.